beginning of Parshas Chayisara, Avraham Avinu tells the Bnei Chayis, Ger b'toshav anochi imochem. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction. Either he's a ger or he's a toshav. But Azal Reitchik has a drosha that he delivered on many different occasions, published, where he explains that the Jewish people floating around in this world are both a ger and a toshav at the same time. We are a ger in the sense that we are very different from the Ummah Sa'ilam. We have very different interests. And we are a toshav. We work along with the rest of the world to solve all the problems of poverty and all the economic problems and all the sicknesses and all the problems that the world has. We work together with everybody else. We have a mitzvah b'halachta b'drachov. We go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man b'tzelem elokim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to preserve our Tzelem Elokim. Halachta b'drachim, not to imitate. What do you mean to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why should we imitate? Sometimes you have a little girl imitates her mother. So she puts on a big hat, she puts on a shekel, she puts on high heels, and she gives touch to the younger children, and she screams at the younger children. She's imitating her mother. She thinks that someday she'll be a mother. So she imitates her mother. A little boy imitates a doctor. He puts on a stethoscope and he starts listening to your heartbeat, or he starts taking your blood pressure or something. He makes believe he's a doctor. Someday he may become a doctor. What do you mean we should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Baruch Shalom is considering retiring. So he's looking for a replacement. Why should we imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Pashtus is, we're not imitating something that we are not. We were created, the Tzelem Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, V'halachta b'drachav, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that he implanted within us at birth. The very next pasuk in Parshas Kisavo says, after V'halachta b'drachav, reads, V'ro kolami ha'aretz, but all the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem nikru alecho, that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, Kishem Hashem nikru alecho, the Yoru Mimeko, they will learn from us how to act with Yerushalayim. They can also preserve their Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Adam Shenibri B'Tzelem. The Ummah Sa'ilam were also created B'Tzelem Elokim. So we have an obligation to serve as Or LaGoyim. It's not just the Nevi'im. Not just the Navi Yishai says we're supposed to be Or LaGoyim. It says in the Chumash, we're all Kalami Hearts. The Jews have to act in such a way as to serve as an Or LaGoyim that they should see from us. They can also preserve their Tzelem Elokim. The Yorim in Mecca, to learn from us Yerushalayim, to learn from us how to act in a way of Yerushalayim. So we have a medrash on the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. The Pasuk says, Kisavoy al ha'aretz and a taitim kolet machop, when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you plant trees. So it says the first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the pears of the trees. It's our Lord, and the fourth year there's a din of Ravai. So the medrash has a comment that we will plant trees just like the Ribbono Shel Olam planted trees. Vayit Hashem Elokim gan v'yed mikedem. Parshas Bereishis, the Ribbono Shel Olam planted trees. He created a whole beautiful world. So l'chora, part of the mitzvah b'halachta b'drachov, we can't create worlds, we can't create yesh me'ayim, we can't make yesh me'yesh either. But part of b'halachta b'drachov is that we should be productive and creative, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam made such a beautiful world. We're supposed to contribute to this world as well. The Gemara in the first Perek in Tainus tells the story of a man who was planting a tree. An old man was planting a tree, and that tree, the nature of that tree was such it didn't give fruits for many years. And it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to live so long to see the pears that are going to come from the tree. So a younger person asked him, what are you wasting your time to plant the tree? You're not going to live so long to see the pears. So he said, when I was born, I came into a world that was full of trees, and I have an obligation to prepare for the next generation. They should also come into the world with beautiful trees. The Jewish people have an obligation to be both a ger and a toshav. We have to be a toshav together with all the Yom HaSolem. We have to be productive in the world and develop everything. We have to be a ger. We have to keep our mitzvahs and lead another type of life, totally different type of life. The Jewish people have fulfilled our mitzvah of improving the world. The percentage of the Jews in the world population is less than 1%. And the percentage of the Jews who got Nobel Awards is over 20%. So the Jews have contributed many times over, 100 times more than our percentage of the world. We have contributed to the welfare of the world, to improve everything in the world. The Pasuk says in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Vayishlach, that after Yaakov Avinu was Nitzav, Yehovah Yaakov Shalom, Yerushchem, Shalom, the Mamona, Shalom, the Gufa, Shalom, the Tairosoi, so he out of Hakoras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he felt he has to do something to express his gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The pasuk says, Vayichan as Pnei Huir. So the Gemara understands, Vayichan Loshen Chen, that he beautified the city Shechem. In which way? So the Gemara has, in Shabbos, the Gemara has three suggestions. One suggestion, one interpretation is that he instituted a coin system. They didn't have until the days of Yankov, they didn't have a coin system. And he made the business much easier. And the other suggestion the Gemara has is that he instituted shvakim. He instituted malls, shopping malls. Instead of going to buy potatoes over there, and to buy milk over there, and to buy furniture over there, so he instituted shopping malls that you have everything in one place. You can shop for everything in one place. The Gemara has another tradition that Batei Merchatzois, Yisken Lohem. He improved the hygiene of the city. He encouraged all the people that they should bathe every so often, however often they bathed in the days of Yankov Avinu. Not as much as people bathe today, but he improved the hygienic situation of the city. And at the same time that the Gemara interprets Vayichan Loshen Chein, that he improved the beauty of the city, that he was working for the same goals that the Ummah Sa'ilam are working for, to improve the economy and to improve the good health of the citizens. At the same time, the Medrash has a pshat, Vayichan Loshen Chanoya, that Kovalot Chum Shabbos. Chum Shabbos, the Meshul Chochma explains, means Al Yetzi Ishman Koma Bayam Shvi, that we stay on our own Dalai Lamas, we don't go out to the outside world, we don't mix with the outside people. So the Jewish people have to live in such a double level. You have to work with the Ummah Sa'ilam to improve the world, which we have done way more than our share. Way more than our share. And we have to do our obligation. Ribbono Shel Olam instructed us we should keep Torah mitzvahs, that maybe we haven't done our share. We've done our share in the Toisha, maybe we haven't done our share in the Ger. We have to work a little more on that. The Gemara talks about the fact that if someone will tell you Chachma Bagoyim, that the Ummah Sa'ilam have Chachma, you should believe it. The Ummah Sa'ilam have a lot of Chachma. In some schools, they brainwash the children into believing that the Ummah Sa'ilam are dumb, they're stupid, they have nothing to offer. And then when the Talmidim become exposed to the outside world and they see all the technology and everything, all the advancements, it's not going to be that they're dumb. They have so many inventions and so on. So it's certainly not true. The Gemara says if someone will tell you that there's Chochma Bagoyim, it's dumb. Someone will tell you that there's Torah Bagoyim. Torah means a way to live, a correct way to live. Al Tamin. Ribbono Shel Olam gives us all the ethical and the moral and the religious principles. The Ummah Sa'ilam are making up from their mind. They make up from philosophical constraints what they think is the right way to go. Is not necessarily going to be correct. Chazal have, the Gemara has in Brachas and other places, the Gemara learns that different Divrei Chochma from the Ummah Sa'ilam. In Yonim of Derech Eretz, the Suda and other things, how to walk in the street. Different in Yonim Derech Eretz, the Gemara learns that from the Ummah Sa'ilam. There is what to learn from the Ummah Sa'ilam in the area of Chochma, in the area of Derech Eretz also, but a person has to be careful. The Medrash has an expression, we look to the Ummah Sa'ilam to try to pick up some of the Chochma that they have, so we should be careful. The Medrash has an expression, sometimes people look towards the Ummah Sa'ilam and they pick up the Narishkeit, they pick up the silly things from the Nohr. They have to be careful to pick up the Divrei Chochma, those in Yonah Derech Eretz that do make sense. Usually, B'noik Sheba'ilam, we look around. So people who learn in yeshiva, people who learn, married people learn in a kollel, so usually they're very machmer. They have this chumer, the other chumer, machmer, all the mishnah brewers, and all the chazanish is the machmer. Balabatim who go to work, they don't have so many chumers. In a certain sense, it should really be the reverse. The pasuk says, Ushmartem es mishmarti, v'lilti asas michulkos ha-toyevay israelu, the pasuk in the end of Parsha Sachri Mos, the last pasuk in Achri Mos, the Gemara Yevamos understands the pasuk to mean, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, you have to make ases yog latar, the opening mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ases yog latar, who is the pasuk speaking to? Shmartem es mishmarti. He's speaking to the Sanhedrin, he's speaking to the Bezna HaGadol. So the Mesillas Yesharim says, no, it's speaking to Kol Yachad V'Yach, it's speaking to each and every individual person. If you are in a situation, if you're a professor in a Goyisha university, so you need certain siyogim that other people don't need. If a person is sitting and learning in a kollel, he doesn't have the same nisyonis as the person who's in business, or the person who's a professor in a university, or the person who's a doctor in a hospital. Each person, depending on what country he lives in, what century he lives in, and what his profession is, and whom he associates with, has to make different siyogim. The bachur that learns in the yeshiva, the guy who learns in the kollel, probably doesn't need all of these siyogim. He's associating with Bnei Torah. He sees Rabbanim all the time. He sees the Rashba. He sees Rashi. He sees the Rambam. Well, what does he need all the siyogim for? It's fakert from the way it is usually. The balabatim who go to business and who associate with the nochem all day long, they're the ones who really need more siyogim. Mesillas Yesharim writes that people make a mistake. They think that the pasuk mishmartam is mishmarti, asum mishmeres and mishmarti, the opening mishnah in Pirkei Avos, asay siyog la'Torah, is only speaking to the Bezna Gadol. So whatever gzeiros, whatever hachokis appear in the Gemara, whatever the Tanoim and whatever the Amoraim instituted, that's binding, and anything else is more than is necessary. It's an isa baltaisa. You're not supposed to add any more siyogim. So Mesillas Yesharim says he thinks that that's not correct. Whatever the Tanoim, whatever the Amoraim made, whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's Dov HaShav L'chol Nefesh, that's binding on everybody. Even if you're sitting in a Beis Medrash and you don't really associate with Nochrim at all, still you have to observe all of the Harchokas and all the Siyogim that the Tanoim made. Once in a while the Gemara will say that for Talmud Chacham is Mutter because there's no Chashash that he's going to fall in. Sometimes for Talmud Chacham is Mutter because there's no Chashash. The Gemara will sometimes say that was part of the original Takan. So also the Mesillas Yesharim says all the Gzeiros and all the Siyogim that appear in the Gemara, these are Shav L'chol Nefesh, this is binding on everybody. Each person, depending on what circumstances he happens to meet up with, has to be careful and make his own Siyogim, make his own Achas. I remember when I was in college, so on Thursdays I used to have a course where I thought the professor was teaching Api courses. So on Thursday nights, I used to learn Tanya, just to be mechazek myself in Emunah. If I just heard something that I considered was Api courses, so I wanted to counteract it. So I would be mechazek myself. Everyone has to be mechazek himself depending on what the circumstances happen to be. There's a famous story. Bienes and Edichitz lived in Prague. He used to associate with a lot of the galochim there. All rabbis have to associate with galochim to a certain extent. So on one occasion they say one of the galochim, Master Bienes and Edichitz, it says in your Torah, Acharei Rav Nahatos, he's supposed to follow the majority. Whenever you're not sure what the din is, he's supposed to follow the roiv. So the roiv of the people in the world are of the Avodah Zarah. Most of the people in the world are Christians. So why don't you follow the roiv? Thank you. So if you understand Abishad's answer, we only follow the roiv when you're not sure what the din is, when you have a suffix, whenever you're a vadai. You're going to tell me now, the roiv of the people are going to tell me that it's nighttime now. That it's the middle of the summer now. One might think it is the middle of the summer. Someone's going to tell me it's the middle of the summer now. So it's a fact, I know. It's not summertime. It's winter now. And it's not nighttime, it's daytime. You don't go bust the roiv whenever you know that it's wrong. But the same is true with respect to picking up Chachma Bagayim. We look to the Umas HaOlam. We're interested in picking up whatever Chachma they have to offer. Whatever Derech Eretz they have to offer, we should pick up. But a person has to have his head screwed on straight. He has to know that there are certain things that the Umas HaOlam have which are not Chachma, not Derech Eretz. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say that the society that we live in is a neurotic society. There are a lot of things that they have a mamish mishigasin. We shouldn't pick up the mishigasin from the Umas HaOlam. We should be careful that it should be kimisukolim shebehem asisim, not kimikolim shebehem. We shouldn't pick up the mishigasin and the neurosis from the Umas HaOlam. In America, they have the mishigas of freedom. It's a country of freedom for all. Yeah. Freedom. Freedom to do whatever you want. Freedom to indulge in all the hanos olam hazeh. The founding fathers who organized America were running away from persecution. So they wanted to have religious freedom. Then they formulated the Bill of Rights, and they formulated freedom to do everything. But this kind of freedom to indulge in all the hanos olam hazeh all day and all night, this is ridiculous. That's completely contradictory to what the Torah stands for. The Torah wants people to have, with tamos, everything should be with the right degree. A person should indulge in a little bit in olam hazeh. The Gemara says that there are three things that a person shouldn't push away completely. The Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara and a Tinoik and Isha, one's wife, he shouldn't push away. You can't push away the Yetzer Hara completely. Well, you got to fight with the Yetzer Hara head on milchama, not to have any hanos alamaze at all. You have to give in a little bit, not to the yetzer to do averis, but to the yetzer for tigers alamaze. You have to eat breakfast, lunch and supper. You have to eat normal. To rest, to eat five times as much as you should for breakfast and five times as much for lunch. That's awful. That's not right. But to eat normal meals, that's normal. To sleep normally, that's normal. To do normal things. To have freedom, to indulge in all the hanos alamaze. That's a sickness. That's an American sickness. The American sickness is obesity. I used to think that it's a Jewish sickness, that the Jews eat so much chocolate. They say, no, it's not the Jewish people. The Jewish people picked it up from the Christians in America. All the Americans are overweight. That's a sickness because of this freedom. In America, they believe that everyone is free to indulge in all the hanos alamaze. Just last week, I saw in Time magazine that a whole article about marriage. What do you need marriage for? Everyone is having premarital sex. They're having children without getting married. So what do you need marriage for? So they have a whole discussion as to who's getting married these days. What do you need marriage for? The whole morality of America is totally contradictory to what Jewish morality is. Anyone who studies any Chumash, anyone who studies any Gemara, knows what Jewish morality is. Totally in contradiction to the morality of the Americans. Our ethics are min hashamayim. There's a famous comment that the Bartanura makes on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Why does it say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina Mesorah Yeshua, etc.? Why does it say the Hamasorah appear in the beginning of Pirkei Avos? It should really appear in the beginning of Brachas. Shisha Sidrei Mishnah begins with Zroim and it begins with Brachas. So I should say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina Mesorah Yeshua. So the Bartanura says that's a Dovah Pashut. Of course, anyone who studies Talmud, anyone who studies Mishnah, studies Gemara, knows that we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Torah Shebichtav was dictated, word for word, letter for letter, was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Otherwise, how was the Gemara Medayit from a letter, from a word, from an extra phrase? Everything was dictated, word for word, letter for letter, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah Shebal Peh was Min HaShemayim. You wouldn't be studying Mishnah if you wouldn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh Min HaShemayim. But the Mishnah puts the Seder HaMasor in the beginning of Pirkei Avos because we know that there were Chachmei Umasolim who wrote books on ethics, and all of their ethics were all Nischadish from their own minds. And some of them wrote very nice books. They came up with very nice ideas. So we want to emphasize that our ethics are not ethics of the fathers, not that they're made up by the rabbis. It wasn't introduced by these Tanoim. All of the statements in Pirkei Avos are all Min HaShemayim. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai applies to Pirkei Avos as well. In fact, there's a famous comment that the Vilna Gaon has. Why is it called Avos? Why is Maseches Avos called Avos? So those who study Bava Kamma will remember in the beginning of Bava Kamma you have Avos and Toldos. You have 24 Avos Nezikin. The Mishnah has 4 Avos Nezikin. The Brice has 13 Avos Nezikin. The next Brice has 24 Avos Nezikin. So Rashi explains on the opening Mishnah what are Avos and what are Toldos. Whatever says in Chumash is Avos. Whatever similar to what it says in Chumash is Toldos. So that's where Rashi writes in the beginning of Bava Kamma. Hanach dechsib mikra mikri Avos. Those that are befurish and pasuk are called Avos. So the Vilna Gaon says that's why it's called Avos, Pirkei Avos. Everything in Pirkei Avos is mefurish and kra. And he goes that the whole Bira Gra on Avos is he gives you a marmakaimus from Tehillim, from Mishlei, from Tanakh, where every statement of Pirkei Avos appears in Tanakh. People make a mistake. They think it's the ethics of our fathers. The fathers being the Tanai, that their Tanai made up these ideas. That's exactly what the Bartanura says is not the pshat. Our ethics are Misinai. Our ethics are Min HaShemayim. And if you don't have ethics, Min HaShemayim, it's going to be like Avraham Avinu said, like Yitzchak Avinu said, why did they lie? And they said, why did they say that their wife is their sister? So he says, he saw Rakan Yerushalayim came amok amazeva haraguni al dvarishli. Ethics signed, ethics marking. But my wife is good looking. They can decide to kill me in order to take my wife. They won't violate the Yisra of Leisinov. They wouldn't chalila take a woman who's an Eshes Ish. So they'll kill me. She won't be an Eshes Ish. If all of your ethics and all of your morality is man-made, so you can go violate the Kol HaTorah Kuli and give a whole shekel. You'll allow mercy killing. You'll allow killing all the people. Who needs these older people past the age of 85? They're not productive, so may as well kill them all. There were communities in Rome where they did like that. But by the Goyim, they killed off people who passed a certain age and were no longer productive. So we consider that Lesitzach. We consider that Yehar Glayav. They considered it a big mitzvah because all of their ethics were man-made. So they can make up whatever makes sense to them. I used to learn Becharusa with a Russian, Professor Kashdan. He's one of the world's biggest geniuses in mathematics. I didn't know he was such a big professor. When we started learning together, so the guy was such a genius. He picked up Gemara so quickly. So I said, you know, you can make a big contribution if you go into learning. Maybe you should go into learning Gemara. He started to chuckle. He didn't say anything. And then one of his chaverim told me he's one of the world's biggest mathematicians. That's why he's chuckling. He's not going to start a new career now. So I think he lives in Eretz Yisrael now. I haven't seen him in many years. So he told me that he was brought up in Russia under the communism. So he says, in Russia, there's no such thing as reform or conservative Judaism. You're not entitled to an opinion on anything. In America, you can go vote. You can go vote for... You don't even know how to read English. You don't know what anybody stands for. Everybody has the right to vote. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. He says, in Russia, no one's entitled to an opinion on anything. So you have a religion, that's the religion. Sure. What every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to give his opinion on everything. This is one of the... America is a wonderful country. And the freedom of religion, and the freedom of speech, and the freedom to have your opinion is wonderful. But it's a little overdone. You have the freedom to go to an election and to vote for people. You don't know bichlal what the issues are. You don't know who the candidates are. You don't have to read English. The Puerto Ricans in my neighbor, they go to vote. They don't know who's running for anything. So how do they vote? How do they know what they're talking about? Their freedom is a little ridiculous. The Jews who live in America have picked up all of the American shtick. All of the chasranis can call them. We picked up all of the shtick. We have the freedom to indulge in all the hanos olam hazeh. We have the freedom to be entitled to an opinion. Moshe Feinstein says like this, and I hold not so. Who are you? You can't even read Hebrew without dots. You can't read Hebrew with dots, with lacunas. What are you entitled to opinion? He looked on the internet. He found on the internet there are different opinions. Moshe Feinstein says like this, and some unknown person, someone printed a book, so because he printed a book and he died 100 years ago, therefore he's equal to Moshe Feinstein. What's the comparison? The internet is wonderful, has wonderful mindless, but it has chesrenes also. People find information from the internet, so they feel that they're so knowledgeable that they're entitled to an opinion to decide whose opinion makes more sense. That's not enough to be entitled. You have to know more than that, more than how to use the internet to get information. Because of all of the advances in science and technology, so we have a lot of very young people in America who are very honored. We stand in awe from them. The older people stand in awe. So in a certain sense, we have undone the whole mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim and Kibbutz Zakenim. Why should we respect our parents? My parents don't even know how to use the internet. They don't know how to use email. They don't know how to make text messages. They don't know anything. Why should I respect these old fogies? You know more than them in all areas, in science and technology. This is undermining the lack of derech eretz for parents. It's undermining the whole sanctity of the family by the goyim. Forget the Jews. The goyim also, they don't have any family. The president of the United States, the last couple of presidents are crying about that. Why the institution of the family has been eroded in America. It's all because we have such derech eretz. We have such respect for all of the science and technology. And all the younger people are the ones who have all of these inventions and all of these discoveries. So we no longer have respect for our elders. This is a disaster. We should have respect for the younger scholars who came up with all of these big inventions, but we should still have respect for our elders. We have a Masorah. Masorah is on the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is in print. That's not called Masorah. Masorah is on Torah Shebal Peh. We have a Masorah not only on what the dinim are, we have a Masorah on attitudes. What our attitude should be towards certain things. People make a mistake. They distinguish between halacha and agada in the Gemara. They think the halacha, the dinim, and the agada are the stories. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the agada is also halacha. The halacha tells us how to act. And the Agoda tells us how to think. Just like there are certain things you're not allowed to do, there are certain things you're obligated to do. You have to put on talis and tefillin. And you're not allowed to eat macholos hasuras. And then there are certain things that are issues, optional. If you want, you can do this. If you want, you can do that. So too in thinking, there are certain thoughts that you're not allowed to think. There are certain thoughts that you're obligated to think. There are certain thoughts that are permissible. So the Agoda is the halacha of the machshava, what you're allowed to think and what you have to think and what you're not allowed to think. We have a famous sefer, Chovos HaLevavos. He talks about what are the Chovos HaEvarim, What are the chayvus alvavus? What are the obligations that you mechuyev to do with your body? What are the thoughts that you mechuyev to have, and the thoughts that you're not permitted to have? And that's what the masorah is all about. The masorah is not only people make a mistake. Masorah is just the dinim. Once you have the dinim, then you can think whatever you want. You can take these dinim and arrange them in any pattern, any system you want, to come up with any concoction, any system you want. That's not correct. We have a masorah of what the attitudes are supposed to be as well. Used to say in the name of his father that it's a little extreme, they were very makbid not to express any emotions in public. They tried to not to, it's important to have emotions, it's normal, it's natural, it's healthy to have emotions, but they tried not to express their emotions in public. So he said that his father never kissed him. That's a little extreme. What's wrong if a parent kisses a child? He said when he left his father to go to university, he said his father shook his hand and he said, L'chaim o'lashom. He never knew if he's ever going to see his father again. As it turns out, he did see his father. He rejoined the family in America. But that's a little extreme. So he would say that the emotions are something that's very holy, and something that's very holy should always be concealed, should be covered up. As it says in the Chumash, in the end of Parshas Bamidbar, something that's holy should be covered up, and no one should be present when the Levim are putting on the big dehasrod, the coverings on the clay hamishkan, when they're putting them in a container. So that's what it used to say, that the human body is also holy. God created the human body, so the human body in a certain sense has sanctity, and we should always cover up the human body. A lot of people like to walk around naked. So we feel that that's improper. Why is it improper? If the society walks around naked, why is it improper? So his presentation was because we should treat the human body as if it's something sacred, as if it's something holy, because Baruch Hu created it. Anything that Baruch Hu created, we should do mitzvahs with it, so that's holy. And anything that's holy should be concealed, should be covered up. This is one of the mishigasin in America that all of us are picking up. I remember once I was walking in the halls of the yeshiva in the summertime in a short-sleeved shirt. So Rav Mendel Zaks was the bochen in the yeshiva. Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, so he was the bochen in the yeshiva. So he sees me walking, I was around 15 years old, 17 years old. So he sees me walking in short sleeves. So he comes over to me and he tells me, it reminds him, he says in Yiddish, it reminds him that when he landed in America on the boat from Europe, there were people to take all the luggage down from the boat, big, husky, black porters, and they weren't wearing anything till their waist. They had no shirt, they had no undershirt on. So my wearing short sleeves reminds him. And then he says, maybe there's a distinction. Maybe there's a distinction. To European, he was European. He thought that was unacceptable. A person should go with short sleeve shirts. And a yeshiva, the basement shorts, the shorts. We do it all the time. The attitudes, many of the attitudes in America are totally contradictory to traditional Jewish attitudes. And there are a lot of wonderful things that we should try to pick up from America. There are cheretz, chochma bagayim tamet. Yes, we should pick it up, but we have to be careful not to pick up the neuroses. It is, as Rav Soloveitchik said, it is a neurotic society. They have a lot of mishigasin, have a lot of kilkulim, a lot of their freedoms have been extended to an exaggerating proportion. We should be careful not to pick them up. Much of the recent developments in science are based on the assumption that you take the most outrageous idea and you try to push, maybe that's correct. And it turns out that it is correct. Just whatever is mamish, counterintuitive, whatever mamish doesn't make sense, you try to see maybe that has some emes to it. And then if you look into it, it has emes. many of the recent scientific discoveries were based on that. You take the most outrageous idea. In Torah we have such a thing as Chiddush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chiddush. The Pasuk says in Shiras Tzivayra, Yivchar Lehim Chadoshim Oz Lachim Sha'arim Moganim Eroi V'Roimach Ba'aboy Melech V'Yisrael. So the Poshim Shat in the Pasuk is, when the Jewish people chose to worship Abed Ezer, Yivchar Lehim Chadoshim, the Jews were worshipping new gods. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us, and he caused Muhammad. Oz Lachim Sha'arim. So the war came in the middle of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, and we weren't prepared. The Jewish people didn't have any weapons to fight back. That's the Pshut Shel Mikra. The Alkan Shemani has an additional level of interpretation on that pasuk, that is if the word Elikim is Loshin Kodesh. Yivchar Elikim Chadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidushei Torah. And because the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates Chidushei Torah, that's why Oz Lachim Sha'arim, that's why there's Mechamta Shel Torah. In the Shiarim HaMetzionim HaLacha, and all the yeshivas, and all the Batei Midrashes, they wage Mechamta Shel Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidushim. So Rav Soloveitchik used to point out HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidushim. Chidushim is one thing, and Shinuyim is another thing. One of the 13 principles of the Rambam is Zos HaTorah Lo Asei Mochlefes, that there's no Shinuy in Torah. The laws of the Torah never change. The world is changing. The Bria keeps on changing. The laws of the Torah never change because the laws, the whole Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elokus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change. Change is only something that's chal in Ivroim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the barrier, so he's separate from the whole world. Since the Torah is Tmunas Hashem, Torah is a Mashal HaKadmai, the Torah is a description of Elokus, so just like Ani Hashem Lo Shanisik, just like the essence of God doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah don't change. Since the whole Bria keeps on changing, the whole world keeps on changing, so a lot of times, a situation that seems to be a repeat, this came up 10 years ago, it came up 100 years ago, yeah, but now it's different from the way it came up 10 years ago. Now it's different from last year. The world keeps on changing. So a lot of times it appears to be similar, but it's not exactly identical. So we have in any siman in Shulchan Aruch, you have many different sifim. If this is a situation, the din is like this. If that's a situation, the din is like that. The dinim are not always the same based on what all of the details of the case happen to be. So the halacha never changes. The metzias is changing. So that's why a lot of times in our generation, that's why the Paskim have to write Shuvas on all the Shadas that were ready to always give Paskim 100 years ago, because we live in a changing world. It's not that we're changing the Dinim. The Shadas are different Shadas, so the Shuvah may come out to be a different Shuvah, because something is slightly different. So we are very much, we're very gung-ho for Chidushei Torah, Chidushim, yes, but Shinuyim, no. It's a very dachistic line to know the difference between a Chidush and a Shinuy. So many people take this attitude from the secular world, from the world of science. In science, they go like that. A scientist comes up with the most counterintuitive idea, with the most outrageous idea, unbelievable. They give you an inoculation for a sickness. So what do they inoculate? They give you this. They give you the germ. They give you the sickness. Ah! They're going to make me sick. No, that's the most counterintuitive idea. The one who came up with this is a Givaldic. They give you a little bit of the inoculation. The body fights it, and now you have an immunity. Now you're going to get. Now you're not going to get sick, but that sickness. It started off as such a counterintuitive idea, and many of the big chidushim in the last 50 years are like that. A scientist comes up with an outrageous idea, and it turns out to be true. And halacha, we allow chidushim, but it can't be a shinui. Many people today, they think, chidush. The rabbis are very gung-ho for chidushim. So people come up with the wildest chidushim, outrageous ideas that are lo nitnu lehayomer. This also picked up, people have picked this up from the secular world, from the outside world. Not everything from the scientific world can be carried over to the world of learning. The Gemara tells us that in Sanhedrin, I think Rav Ashi was teaching the students Mishnai Sanhedrin. So he learned the first 9 prokim, 10 prokim, whatever it is there. Then he said, tomorrow I'll teach the students about my dear friend Menashe. Menashe was one of the kings in Tanakh who worshipped Avodah Zarah, and the Mishnah has a dispute whether Yesh Lechel Galom Abba or Ein Lechel Galom Abba. So he said sarcastically, tomorrow I'll give the shiur, we'll learn the next parak, parak chelik, who has a chelik Galom Abba, I'll give the shiur about my dear friend Chavireinu Menashe. So the Gemara says, that night he had a dream. Menashe appears to him in a dream, and he says, Rabbi, you're making fun of me, my dear friend Menashe, making fun of me. Tell me, when you say Hamaitzi, where are you supposed to bite into the slice of bread? So in the dream, Rav Ashi says, there's a din about that too? Where are you supposed to bite into the slice of bread? He says, of course, there's a din about everything. So he said, what's the din? You have to eat from the part that's crusty, as opposed to the soft part. When you say Hamaitzi, you have to eat from the crusty part. In the dream, he didn't tell him whether the top crust or the bottom crust, or there's a machlekes and Shulchan Aruch. So they recommend you should fold over the slice and you should bite both crusts at the same time, top crust and the bottom crust. So Rav Ashi says in the dream to Menashe, you were so learned, you know dinim that I never even knew existed. I never heard of this. How come you worship Avodah Zarah? What, are you crazy? I'm going to say tomorrow in the Shir, whether you have a chelek alam haba, you don't have a chelek alam haba, you're an Avodah Zarah. How come, if you're so learned? He said, my dear Rav Ashi, if you would have lived in my generation, he says, you would have picked up your kapot, you would have run to worship Avodah Zarah. There was such a drive, there was such a desire, there was such a Yetzirah to worship Avodah Zarah, it was unbelievable. How come in the days of Rav Ashi, this Yetzirah no longer existed? How come today we don't see it? We don't see it. Somehow it is around. There are Jews who are going, after serving the Israeli army, many of them go to the Far East and they pick up Avodah Zarah. You know, normal people are in yeshivas, we don't understand this Yetzirah. So what happened to that Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah? How come, if Rav Ashi would have lived in the generation of Menashe, how come he would have picked up his kapot and run to worship Avodah Zarah together with everybody else? So the Gemara has a tradition that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilah, who the body of 120 Rabbanim, amongst them several Nevi'im, at the beginning of the period of the Baal Shem, they were mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mevatli Yetzirah v'Avodah Zarah, and their prayers were answered, and the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was ended. No more Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But if there's no Yetzirah, so then there's no challenge in living. You have to have a person, the whole idea of mankind is that we have a Yetzirah and we control ourselves. You have to have desires, you have to have bechira chavshis, you have to exercise, you have bechira chavshis, no yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so what's the challenge of living? So the Gemara seems to imply that at the beginning of the Baal Sheni, a new yetzirah began, a yetzirah for minus, a yetzirah for apikursus. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the last parak in Brachas, the first daf in parak Haroya, that mishikil kulu haminim, where the apikursim started to tumult, they didn't believe in Olam Haba, Hiskinu, the Chachamim introduced that in the Beis HaMikdash, whoever recites a bracha should say, Min Ho'olam Ad Ho'olam, blessed Baruch Atah Hashem, Min Ho'olam Ad Ho'olam, Magen Abraham. Whenever they would davish Shema Yisrael. What do you mean, Min Ho'olam Ad Ho'olam? To emphasize that we do believe in Olam Haba. So when was that they said Min Ho'olam Ad Ho'olam? So the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara point out, wasn't sometime in the middle of the period of the Baal Sheni. It was day number one. That's what they quote from Tanakh. The very first day of the Baal Sheni, there was already this big Yetzirah for Apikus. Perhaps this was to replace the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. It was from the days of Maimon HaSina till the beginning of the period of the Baal Sheni, till the period of the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilah, till they were Mispalo. And they contained, it's a passage in Zechariah. Rashi writes in the opening passage in Zechariah. Zechariah is the most obscure Novi. We don't understand what he's talking about. So there's a passage in Zechariah that they trapped a woman, a female who was representative of evil, of Risha. They trapped her in a metal container and they put on the lid and they screwed it tight and shine. They have it under control. What is it supposed to represent? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this is representative of this fact that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilah succeeded through their tefillahs in containing the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. So apparently from that time on, it was Chal new Yetzirah, Yetzirah of Apikursis, Yetzirah of Minus. Part of the Apikursis is that people don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh. They only believe like in the scientific world, prove it, whatever you can prove, so they don't believe in it. There's a text of the Chumash, there's a text of the Gemara. More than the text of the Gemara, it doesn't say. We have oral traditions how to understand the Gemara. We have oral traditions of attitudes. So many people today, in a certain sense, are apikursim. They don't accept anything more than the text. Who are the ones who wrote the text? The Amaron, Tanaim Aram, the same ones who wrote the text, gave us an oral tradition as to how to interpret the text. So a lot of people today don't accept that. They want to give their own interpretation. They take all the dry facts that appear in the Tanakh, that appear in the Gemara, and they rearrange them in a different idea. in a different arrangement, and you come up with a whole totally different picture. Pascal was a French philosopher, so he writes in his Pensée, in his work on philosophy, that someone may have a taina against me, that every idea that I develop in my book is printed already. Other people said the exact same idea, so I'm a ganav. All of my ideas say somewhere else. So he said, you can have the same taina against a poet. He writes a poem, every word in the poem appears in the dictionary. So what was the poet Mechadish? And so he took the words and he put them in this arrangement. You could take the exact same words, put them in a different arrangement, you have a totally different picture, you have a totally different poem. He says it's like playing tennis or playing ping pong. The whole chiddush is, you have a racket and you have a ball, the whole part is, where did you place the ball? Is it over there or is it over there? That's how you win, because I put the ball over there where he can't hit it, the other guy can't hit it. So he says the whole, you can have, I have the same ideas, let's say, I have 613 ideas, let's say, for argument's sake. You have 613 ideas. Which is the Iker, which is the Tofel, which is the Klal, which is the Etzman HaKlal. You can subscribe to the same 613 mitzvahs that I subscribe to, but I have one picture, I have one image of the 613 ideas, which is the Iker, which is the Tofel, which is the Klal, which is the Etzman HaKlal. So it's going to be a totally different picture from the way you have it. So you can't just take the dry facts, the dry text of the Tanakh, and the dry text of the Mishnahs, and the dry text of the Gemara, and then put it in whatever arrangement you please. We have a tradition on the arrangement also. We have a tradition on the interpretation. This is an attitude that was picked up in the scientific world, that whatever you can't prove, they don't believe in. So they just believe, whatever is scientifically proven, they accept. Whatever is not scientifically, they don't accept. We have a Masorah. We have a Masorah of Torah Sheval Peh. In a certain sense, we are living in this generation of the Apikursis and the Kfira, the non-acceptance of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. I remember about 20 years ago, I met Rabbi Hirschsprung, used to be the Rav in Montreal. He must have been in his 80s at the time that I met him. And he had a photographic memory. He knew all of the Gemara Baal Peh. Whenever he would meet, he would ask him, what are you learning? He would say whatever, in the Doran, Erev, and whatever. He would tell you the whole Daf Gemara Baal Peh. And he would say, if you want, I'll tell you all the Tesis Baal Peh. People thought they were going to get him. So some wise guy said, he's learning Yerushalmi Erev. He told him the Yerushalmi Baal Peh. He had a photographic memory. Nothing to things. Photographic memory would tell you everything Baal Peh. He's learning the Doran, he'll tell you the Ran Baal Peh. He'll learn everything. So as a teenager, he had this photographic memory, so he knew everything Baal Peh. So he was officially the bochein, as a teenager, he was the bochein for the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He was accepted there at a very young age. They would send him, instead of sending one of the older rabbonim, they would send him traveling around Europe. If a bocha wanted to enter the yeshiva, he could fare Herman anywhere in Shas, because he knew everything Baal Peh. So he was telling me, in his 80s, he feels a little cheated that he never had a childhood, like a normal child, to play ball and to play games and to waste time like a normal person does. You have to go through certain stages in life in order to develop normally. The Gemara tells a story, one of the Amoraim had a child who was very destructive. He was smashing everything in the house. And the father asked his Rebbe, what should I do? The kid is destructive. So he said, go to the store, buy some old china dishes that are half broken anyway, and give the kid a hammer and let him smash whatever he wants. It's very important that the children have to go through such a stage in development also. Maybe it's important that children in America should play baseball. I don't know. Maybe it's even important they should watch baseball games on television. I don't know. To watch football, I don't know. Maybe it is important. But you have to graduate at a certain time. You have to outgrow that. You have to go through the narishkeit that the children go through. People need a little diversion. So some people can find diversion. They're learning Gemara all day long and then they need a break. So they'll learn Ein Yankif or they'll learn Tanakh. Then they need a break, so they'll learn Mishnayos. Then they'll learn Sivus Hasharim. That's also a break. So some people will find that diversion satisfying. Other people need diversion. They have to smash china dishes. Or they have to play ball or whatever. They have to, okay. So whatever diversion they need, that's important. But we have to graduate from the diversion. A lot of the yeshiva bachim in America have as the heroes the baseball heroes. So there's a din in the Chumash, loisachane. You have a pasuk in Chumash, loisachane. It's a difficult word, loisachane. How do you translate the word? What is the shorish of the word, of the verb? So the Gemara has three levels of interpretation. The one interpretation is miloshen chinam, not to give a matas chinam to a nochri. One interpretation is miloshen chanoya, losipen lem chanoya bekarka. You're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Israel to a nochri. And the third shot is miloshen chen, lo yisa chen beinechem. You're not permitted to praise a nochri. Got to say, what a wonderful baseball player! What a wonderful baseball player he is! What a wonderful soccer player he is, or something like that. So we look up to our heroes, and most people, Rav Bini Adam, are followers. Some people are leaders, and most people are followers. So the Rambam explains, Rav Bini Adam are followers. So if you're going to look up to these people as our heroes, we're going to praise them. We're going to start following other things that they do. Other things that they do are disastrous. They're having the headlines in the newspaper all the time. This one is running around with 20 women while he's married. And his wife divorced him because of the fact he's running with 20. The other one was involved in Xayla. The other one was involved in narcotics. And he was driving his car when he was shikir. Shandana Harpa, all of these baseball players and the movie stars and so on. They do kol davar asur, things that the goyim consider absolutely menuvel dika activities. We should be careful. Even if one is excited as a child, you have to graduate at a certain point, we're no longer children. Even if one as a child is excited about the football, about baseball, about basketball, whatever it happens to be, you shouldn't look up to these people as big heroes. That's exactly the din of Lo Sechanim. That's exactly the din. We shouldn't imitate the Nochrim the way they dress, the way they speak. Everybody does that. You live in America, you talk English like all Americans. You can talk English like Americans. You don't have to talk English like the lower level of society. Like college students, university students, they don't talk a normal English. They talk a different level of English. You don't have to pick up the shtick. You talk English, okay. You know, there's a mitzvah to speak Lashna Kodesh. Okay? The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, a deserving mitzvah kala kavahamuras, he gives you a dugma, what's an example of a mitzvah kala, to speak Lashna Kodesh. Really, we should really talk Lashna Kodesh all the time. We live in America, so you talk English, okay, so we're not fulfilling the mitzvah. In Europe, they didn't all speak Lashna Kodesh, they all spoke Yiddish. When you speak English, it shouldn't be the lower level of English, like the Goyish University students. You can talk a proper English. It doesn't have to be the Queen's English, it doesn't have to be the King's English. It could be a normal English the way normal people talk. You don't have to talk English the way university students talk. They have their shtick to show that they're different. You go to university, they're different. So they think that's exactly what's included in the din of Chukas Sakim, to do a minik shtus, to speak a different kind of English, to have a different kind of haircut, to dress differently, to walk differently, to talk differently, to do everything differently. You want to dress like an American, okay, but there is... Dress like an American is one thing, and dress like the lower level of society in America is a different thing. The Chazal saw that there's a lot, the Chachamim saw there's a lot that we can gain and pick up from the Umas Olam in the area of Derech Eretz, in the area of Chochmah. But we have to distinguish, we have to be careful that it should be in the Kolam Shebehem Layasis. We shouldn't imitate what the Umas Olam do, that's an oifen of kilkul. You have to look to our Rabbanim, the Talmid HaChachamim, and every generation have to guide us to determine. That's how it says in Darkei Tshuva, quotes from Nachredim. What's included in the Chukasak and what's not? So he says, L'mesara Kasvel L'chachamim. Yes, Mishnah says in the Rambam, L'mesara Kasvel L'chachamim. The Chachamim in every generation have to determine what's included in the Chukasak and what's not. What is considered a Derech Eretz? What's considered a Dvar Chochma to pick up from the Umas Olam? What's considered a Dovah Menuvel? What's considered a Minik Shtus that we should not pick up from the Umas Olam? You should all have Atzlocha in learning, and you should learn up the storm. You should learn so much that you should be able to understand on your own what is acceptable, what is not acceptable.